And we breathe in of God's peace, and we breathe out of our own angst. We breathe in of God's grace, and we breathe out of our own anger. And we breathe in of God's presence with us, and we breathe out of our own distractedness. And so, Father, would you fill every cell, every atom of our bodies, of our minds and our hearts, our spirits and our souls. Lord, for you are everything, in everything and through everything, and we are your children here this morning, and we need your presence. And our first hymn is number 533, The King of Love, My Shepherd Is, Whose Goodness Faileth Never, Faileth Never. Number 533, we stand to sing. We've gathered together this morning in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Grace, mercy and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ be with you.
And also with you.
So we sit or kneel to pray. Let us pray. And we say together, Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom the secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ said, "The first commandment is this, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is the only Lord. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this, to love your neighbour as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these, for on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Amen. Amen. Lord, have mercy. Just as we come to confession, take a moment to reflect on the week that has been. Those times when we felt that it's all been about us. It all is relying on us. When actually it's always and always will be about God and about Him. So just a moment to reflect. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, Jesus Christ, to save us from our sins, to be our advocate in heaven, and to bring us to eternal life. So let us confess our sins in penitence and faith, firmly resolved to keep God's commandments and to live in love and peace with all. And together, Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we have sinned against you and against our neighbour in thought and word and deed, through negligence, through weakness, through our own deliberate fault. We are truly sorry and repent of all our sins. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us, forgive us all that is past and grant that we may serve you in newness of life to the glory of your name. Amen. So we receive words of forgiveness. Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy upon you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and bring you into life eternal through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And the collect for today. Almighty God, whose Son Jesus Christ is the resurrection and the life, raise us who trust in him from the death of sin to the life of righteousness, that we may seek those things which are above, where he reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. So please be seated as Ruth comes with our readings. Thank you.
The first reading is taken from the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 9, beginning to read at verse 36. In Joppa, there was a disciple named Tabitha. In Greek, her name is Dorcas. She was always doing good and helping the poor. About that time, she became ill and died, and her body was washed and placed in an upstairs room. Lydda was near Joppa. So when the disciples heard that Peter was in Lydda, they sent two men to him and urged him, "Please, come at once." Peter went with them, and when he arrived, he was taken upstairs to the room. All the widows stood around him, crying and showing him the robes and other clothing that Dorcas had made while she was still with them. Peter sent them all out of the room. Then he got down on his knees and prayed. Turning towards the dead woman, he said, "Tabitha, get up." She opened her eyes, and seeing Peter, she sat up. He took her by the hand and helped her to her feet. Then he called for the believers, especially the widows, and presented her to them alive. This became known all over Joppa, and many people believed in the Lord. Peter stayed in Joppa for some time with a tanner named Simon. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
And the second reading is taken from the book of Revelation, chapter 7, beginning to read at verse 9. After this I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands, and they cried out in a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." All the angels were standing round the throne and round the elders and the four living creatures. They fell down on their faces before the throne and worshipped God, saying, "Amen, praise and glory and wisdom and thanks and honour and power and strength be to our God for ever and ever. Amen." Then one of the elders asked me, "These in white robes, who are they and where did they come from?" I answered, "Sir, you know." And he said, "These are they who have come out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will shelter them with his presence. Never again will they hunger, never again will they thirst. The sun will not beat down on them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb at the centre of the throne will be their shepherd. He will lead them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." This is the word of the Lord.
Ruth, thank you. I love those readings where it takes you into something very different from our day-to-day existence. It's like the new telescope that they've just put up into space, and it's looking further into things that we've never seen before, looking further into the glory of God. Of course, it just reminds us, actually, if it's all about us, then what's God doing putting stars and things out beyond what we can see? As it just reminds you that it might not just be all about us. It might still be all about God. Our next hymn, "All Heaven Declares the Glory of the Risen Lord," number 10. We stand to sing. So here, the gospel of our Lord according to John chapter 10, begin to read verse 22. "Glory to you, O Lord." Then came the festival of dedication at Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was in the temple courts, walking in Solomon's colonnade. The Jews who were there gathered around him, saying, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Messiah, tell us plainly." Jesus answered, "I did tell you, and you did not believe. The works I do in my Father's name testify about me, but you do not believe because you are not my sheep. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand, and I and the Father are one. This is the Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Father, would you enlarge our minds with your truth and expand our hearts with your love. Amen. Please do be seated. One of the joys of preaching is that you have to take the passage, and you start earlier in the week, and begin to ponder it. So I've been spent the week thinking about sheep and things like that, which is great. And as you sort of ponder, more things come to your mind, because the passage from John chapter 10 is all about us being sheep. Jesus is the good shepherd. He's the gate of the sheep. He lays down his life for the sheep. No one can snatch them out of his hand. So we're thinking this morning about sheep and how they hear and know the voice of the shepherd. So this week's lectionary readings. In the Old Testament, we've been following Moses. And of course, Moses starts off 40 years with Pharaoh. He then becomes a shepherd for the next 40 years. Then eventually the Lord appears to him through the burning bush and says, okay, Moses, I've got some work for you to do. And eventually, we read again this week, that Moses goes to the mountain for the Ten Commandments. And the people are at the bottom of the mountain, and they say to Moses, you go up the mountain, because they know that God is up there. And they figured that actually Moses is expendable, because they're not really expecting Moses to come down from God's presence, because that's what happens in God's presence. And so they send Moses up the mountain. He's up there for 40 days. That's a long time. So what's going on? Next thing, in the New Testament readings, we've got Luke at chapter 1. And you've got Zechariah, and he's the father of John the Baptist. And he bumps into the archangel Gabriel in the Holy of Holies. Okay, so he's in the temple in Jerusalem. There's a curtain there. He goes behind there once a year. They tie a piece of rope around your foot so that if you faint or collapse, they can drag you out, because nobody else is going to go into the Holy of Holies. He's in there, bumps into an angel. And he has a conversation with the angel. He starts arguing with the angel to the point where the angel has to say to him, listen, pal, I am Gabriel. I stand at the right hand of the throne of God. So just, back in your box. Extraordinary. This is the Holy of Holies. He bumps into an angel. He's having an argument with the angel. And because of that, and the angel tells him about John the Baptist, he's going to have a son, he's going to call him John the Baptist, all that kind of stuff. Because of that, he is struck deaf and dumb for the next 9 months until John the Baptist is born. What's the point of that? So, and this is, we're getting to it. So the truth is, we have lots of voices speaking to us. Mostly, of course, those voices are actually shouting at us. Advertisements, TV, radio, emails, our own internal desires and aspirations. Maybe your stomach shouts at you most of the day. Maybe your backside is shouting at you at the moment. Maybe it's your aching joints, your stiff muscles. Maybe you have grandchildren. Maybe it's your grandchildren shouting at you. maybe it's your boss at work. Maybe he's shouting at you. They are all voices calling and demanding our attention. In the middle of all of that, how do we discern the voice of the shepherd? Because we know that he does not shout at us. That is not his way. And Jesus said, my sheep know my voice, and I call them by name. That is a statement, and it's a promise. So the image that will have come into Jesus' hearers' minds was of shepherds in Jesus' time. Okay, shepherds in Jesus' time, they didn't have Land Rovers and quad bikes and whistles and sheepdogs. The shepherds in those times, their flocks are much smaller, and they stayed on the mountains with the sheep. And indeed, they did know the sheep, and the sheep knew them. And so they would meet up with other shepherds and the other flocks, and the two flocks would mingle. But when they parted, the shepherd would shout out to his sheep, and just his sheep would come out of the flock, the mixed flock, and follow the shepherd. So they knew the voice of the shepherd. And of course, the shepherd was out on the mountains with them, in the cold and the heat and all the rest of it. And of course, when wild animals attacked the flock, the shepherd would go off and fight them. So we have King David, for instance, when he's facing Goliath in the Old Testament, and he tells King Saul that when King Saul says, there's no way you're going to fight that guy, he's huge. And King David says to King Saul, it's all right, I'm used to this, I'm a shepherd. So I regularly defend the flock from bears and lions. So that's what the shepherds did in those days. That's a biblical shepherd, okay? So don't think of one man and his sheep and all that kind of stuff. It's not like that with thousands of sheep. So that's the shepherd whose voice we know. So the lectionary this week. Moses spends 40 days on the mountain. It's not quite that straightforward. In fact, it was only when I read it just this week, I spotted Moses goes up the mountain. He's up there for 6 days. Then the Lord says to him, okay, Moses, come right up to the top of the mountain. And so it's the 40 days. So what were the 6 days about? Well, I guess the 6 days were Moses shouting at God about all the people and the hard time he's having with the Israelites. And what on earth is he doing, giving all these people, making him a leader, all that kind of stuff. And he has 6 days to shout, to talk at God about all that stuff. And then I reckon in the end, Moses just runs out of things to talk to God about. And God goes, okay, now I can talk to you because you've just got rid of all that stuff that's in you. And that was probably 6 days worth. And of course, we read about Moses, that God spoke to him face to face. Why was that? Because Moses, we read, was the most humble man who ever walked the face of the earth before Jesus. It's all there in Numbers chapter 12. So the Lord waited for 6 days for Moses to shut up so he could talk to him. Zechariah, he's in the bumps into Gabriel in the temple, and he's deaf and dumb for 9 months. So the last thing that Zechariah hears for 9 months is the voice of the angel Gabriel in the Holy of Holies. Wow, that would do you in properly. So he hears nothing after that for 9 months. Fantastic. So that's how God gets to speak to Zechariah, because he shuts him up for 9 months with just the voice of Gabriel, those words, just rolling around in his head. Wow. So Zechariah was indeed going to have some peace and quiet for 9 months. just not quite the way he was expecting it. And that was going to change him big time. Now my home group, they bought me a book, and it's called, it's Sarah Sands, The Interior Silence. Now, I've got a feeling it's because actually they probably think I talk too much, and a little bit of interior silence would possibly do me no harm. I'm sure they didn't, you know, they're nodding, aren't they? No. So what happened here is, this is Sarah Sands. She's a journalist. She was with the BBC, worked in the, she was the editor of the Radio 4 Today program for many years. So she is just, you know, her day would start at 4 o'clock in the morning, and the first thing you do is you check your Twitter feed and news feed, all that kind of stuff, then you head off into London, all that kind of stuff. Just massively, massively busy life. And it's starting to get to her. just cannot switch off, mind buzzing whole time. So she decides to go off to take 10 lessons from the monastic life. So she's got, and I'm halfway through, she goes around these 10 monasteries. And of course, what you discover is most of them on the top of mountains, and it's a 3-day trek to get there. And of course, when you get there, interestingly enough, what she notices, so this is by the by, is the air. Said you get to the top of some, you know, Buddhist monastery up the top of a mountain, and the air is clear. And so it takes you 2 or 3 days to kind of, for your head to clear with it all. But there you find something of the presence of God, because the monks have stepped out of this busy world of all the noise and the distraction that comes at us constantly, all the time, 24 hours a day. So she says how she wakes up in the morning, and first she grabs her phone, just out of habit, and then discovers there's no phone signal. And there's a little moment of panic. And then she remembers, oh yes, I'm in the monastery. So only going to be here for a couple of days, then I'll be back down the mountain and I'll pick everything up again. That's how addicted she was to all that stuff, as we all are. So the monks, of course, in those monasteries had learned to live moment to moment in the conscious knowledge of the presence of God. And of course, that sort of inner stillness is something we talked a lot about in our home group. Being part of my journey, but of course, I have to step out of this world for a week of retreat to experience that just for a few days. That in the monasteries, of course, they live in it. There was a lady, a nun, who became famous on television, Wendy, obviously really well known. Anyway, she was a nun, is into art, and she did a program on television, and they asked her, how did the other nuns in the monastery sort of cope with all your fame? That kind of stuff. And she said, well, actually, they felt sorry for me. Yeah, interesting. So, of course, she stepped out of that monastic life into this busy world of fame and fortune. And actually, her colleagues felt sorry for her. And she's now back. I think she's died now, actually. So we have lots of voices talking to us. There's only one voice that is eternally important, unerringly true, unfailingly loving, and that's the voice of the shepherd, Jesus. He's the only one who is the way and the truth and the life. And that sets his voice apart from all the others, over and above everything else. But it's hard, because he doesn't shout at us, refuses to do that. So, I like to be practical. So in your notice sheet, unusually, you can see I planned this service, which is unusual. So in your notice sheet, you'll see on the inside cover, further thought on John chapter 10. You see that? Inside page. There we go. Because I knew we were going to be here at this point. The practical bit. How do we practically, what can we do to hear the voice of God during the day, in amongst everything else? Because, of course, if you're like me, when you climb in the car and you turn the first thing you do is turn the radio on. You've got to stop doing that. Okay? All that kind of stuff. And when you walk into the living room, naturally just turn the television on and then think what you're going to do. Now, so, first thing. If we don't listen, we won't hear. That sounds obvious, but the obvious things are often the hardest. So we have to shut up in order to listen. The primary times for that, I suggest to you, are in the morning when we get up and in the evening when we go to bed. In the morning, we read our Bibles, look through our study notes, pray over the events of the day. Just go through it. Talk to God about your trip, doing the shopping, to work, to school, that you're going to go for a walk or cut the grass, or whatever it is, and commit the whole lot to the Lord. Then when you go to bed at night, just before you go to sleep, Just go over the day and consciously hand over to the Lord all of the people that you've met, the situations you've found yourselves in, the phone calls, the emails. Hand it all over to the Lord for safekeeping overnight. Okay? So that's that daily discipline of Bible reading and prayer, committing your day to the Lord, in the evening, handing it all over to the Lord for safekeeping. Now, as you go, you ask God to go with you. So a habit here, and this is just about habit. As you walk out the front door, say, God, I'm just going out. Could you please just go with me as I go out? Would that be all right? And I think the Lord will say, yeah, sure, that's fine. I'm happy to go with you. So as you go out, just say, Lord, would you go with me? Maybe there's somebody I'll bump into. Maybe there's something you want you need the Lord to speak to you about. So somehow ask the Lord to make you a blessing to the people you meet when you go out. Then you will be the voice of the Lord to that person. Or if someone calls you or you bump into them, pray for them afterwards. So pray for these people. Before you ring somebody, pray for them. Yeah, we've done that, haven't I? Yes. Out in the car, when you get stopped by the red traffic light. I wrote this, and yesterday I still saw the traffic light was green. I put my foot down, and it still caught me. And I went, bother. And I'd written this the day before. So it's hard to do. Because I almost got there. Anyway, I wrote this and I don't do it. Sorry, I should do it. So practice makes perfect. This isn't rocket science here. This isn't something deeply spiritual. This is just when the traffic lights turn red, you just think, oh God. Not oh God, but oh God. Thank you. This is turn that into a moment of grace. And maybe these are just a few ways in which you'll just create a little bit of space, a little bit of grace in your day to hear the voice of God. As you do that, you become more sensitive to his voice and his promptings, because you will have just been speaking to him. So he does want to speak back to you. Remember, you're not called to save the world. We're called to be Jesus to the people that he sends to us every day, that we speak to, one at a time. And that's all. That's what Jesus did, one at a time. Just was himself to those people. That's what we're called to be. We cannot change the world, and we're not supposed to. That's God's job. We're to be Jesus to those around us. And we need to learn to be attentive to his voice and his promptings. And these things, they don't really take much time. They just take practice. Jean's going to lead us in our intercessions now. Thank you. Was that a good lead into the intercessions? No. Sort of. Good. Jean, let's pray.
Let us pray to our Heavenly Father. Thank you, Father, that you sent to us your dear Son Jesus to be our Good Shepherd, who knows each of us by name, and that we, his true sheep, trust in his word and have chosen the path that gives us peace, safety, and eternal life, and is the gateway to you, our loving Father. May we continue our walk through life in scripture, prayer, and our commitment to you. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. The month of May means many things to different people. To some, it's a cup final and the proper start of the cricket season. To others, it's a garden and perhaps the first barbecue and for others it is when the National Trust has opened its doors and days out to further than the local shopping centre and supermarket. Thank you for the variety of ways in which we can enjoy the abundant life that Jesus promised. In everything, may we know the love of Christ and be thankful. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Thank you for the friends you have given us. We probably don't pray for them as much as we should, yet prayer is the best way we have of caring for anyone, placing them in your hands. Make us better friends, more patient, giving, forgiving, generous friends. Make us more like the friend that Jesus was to his friends, loving to the very end. We take a moment to pray now for one or two special friends, holding them gratefully and hopefully before you. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Father, we pray for those who have no roots to their lives or are living as refugees and victims of war, especially those from Ukraine, Afghanistan, Syria, Yemen, and other areas of the world we do not hear much about in the news. For the homeless and for those who feel rejected or unwanted, for those who have lost the roots of family and friends in the turmoil of their lives, we pray that you will give them all hope in the strength of your love. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for the good health for our Queen as she approaches her Platinum Jubilee celebrations. We pray for our government and all those now taking up new positions in councils around the country, that they will act with discernment and loyalty to the British public and local communities. We thank you for our ministry team here at St Margaret's and Holy Trinity. Give them strength and wisdom as they look to the future soon without Mike. We pray for all those listed in our news sheet. Steve Taylor following his operation. Continued prayers for him and Debbie, please. Elaine and James Robson and family on the loss of his father. The Headland family, Ron Headley's nephew, especially Harry. Marcus and Mary Lee and family on the loss of Mary's niece, Helen. Paul and Jean Rickett's daughter-in-law, Amanda, who is sadly undergoing chemotherapy for stage 4 cancer. And the family and friends of Mary Looker, whose funeral will be at St Margaret's on Tuesday the 17th. And we also have heard this morning that Callum, the grandson of Richard and Christine Nisbet, has had a cycling accident in Belgium. Obviously, we pray for him as well. Right. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And finally, gracious God, we offer ourselves again to you, not as perfect Christians, but as Christians in draft form. Open to your encouragement and grace. Live in us, work in us, love through us as we stumble hopefully through this week, seeking to follow your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Dean, thank you. So we stand to affirm our faith on page 3, and we speak these words with confidence and with joy. So we believe. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made, for us and for our salvation. He came down from heaven, was incarnate from the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Christ is our peace. He has reconciled us to God in one body by the cross. We meet in his name and share his peace. So the peace of the Lord be always with you. And we offer, if you're married to the person, give them a kiss. If you're not, don't. Otherwise, give them a holy wave and smile and say, the peace of the Lord be with you. So that's as good as we're going to get for the peace. For communion, I just remind you that I do come forward. I will administer the wafer. If you like, take the chalice, then it will just to the side of me. You can go and take that. If you don't wish to take the chalice, then you can just head back, and that's fine. And that's okay. And next hymn, number 1030, The Lord's My Shepherd. Sticking with that theme of God being our shepherd, number 1030.
Thank you.
follow our service, the second of our Eucharistic prayers, on page 7 of our service booklets. But you have come to Mount Zion, to the heavenly Jerusalem, the city of the living God. You've come to thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly, to the church of the firstborn, whose names are written in heaven. You've come to God, the judge of all men, to the spirits of righteous men made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. The Lord is here.
His Spirit is with us.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. So we sit or kneel to pray. Let us pray. So, Father, we give you thanks and praise through your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, your living Word, through whom you have created all things, who was sent by you in your great goodness to be our Saviour. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he took flesh. As your Son, born of the Blessed Virgin, he lived on earth and went about among us. He opened wide his arms for us on the cross. He put an end to death by dying for us and revealed the resurrection by rising to new life. So he fulfilled your will and won for you a holy people. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we proclaim your great and glorious name, forever praising you and saying, Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Lord, you are holy indeed, the source of all holiness. Grant that by the power of your Holy Spirit and according to your holy will, these gifts of bread and wine may be to us the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, who in the night that he was betrayed took bread and gave you thanks. He broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And in the same way, after supper, he took the cup of wine, gave you thanks and gave it to them, saying, Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. Great is the mystery of faith. Lord, by your cross and resurrection, you have set us free. You are the Saviour of the world. And so, Father, calling to mind his death on the cross, his perfect sacrifice made once for the sins of the whole world, rejoicing in his mighty resurrection and glorious ascension, and looking for his coming in glory, we celebrate this memorial of our redemption. As we offer you this, our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving, we bring before you this bread and this cup, and we thank you for counting us worthy to stand in your presence and to serve you. Send the Holy Spirit on your people and gather into one in your kingdom all who share this one bread and one cup, so that we in the company of all the saints may praise and glorify you forever through Jesus Christ our Lord, by whom and with whom and in whom, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honour and glory be yours, Almighty Father, for ever and ever. Amen. Amen. And so on page 17, we say together the prayer that our Lord Jesus himself taught us. Our Father. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. We break this bread to share in the body of Christ. Though we are many, we are one body, because we all share in one bread. Jesus, Lamb of God, have mercy on us. Jesus, bearer of our sins, have mercy on us. Jesus, Redeemer of the world, grant us peace. So draw near with faith. Receive the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he gave for you, and his blood, which he shed for you. Eat and drink in remembrance that he died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith and with thanksgiving. So we say together the prayer after communion on the top of page 18 in your service booklets. Father of all, we give you thanks and praise that when we were still far off, you met us in your Son, brought us home. Dying and living, he declared your love, gave us grace, and opened the gate of glory. May we who share Christ's body live his risen life. We who drink his cup bring life to others. We whom the Spirit lights give light to the world. Keep us firm in the hope you have set before us, so we and all your children shall be free, and the whole earth live to praise your name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. Now, before we sing our final hymn, So, Junior Church, do you want to come forward? Because you've been making stuff. You can tell me about it. So, Oliver was telling me beforehand that he was going to make a piano. Is that right? So, I'm looking forward to seeing this. Is that a piano?
No.
No. Okay. So come up. All right. Come up here, and tell us. So what have you made here? What are they?
Guitar, shaker.
A guitar and a shaker. And what have you got here?
I've made a heart with all of these different colours.
You've made a heart. Fantastic. And what have you got there?
A guitar and a shaker.
A guitar and a shaker. And you've got a shaker.
No. No. Dodo. No.
Yeah. Fantastic. And what was all this about? Why were you making guitars and shakers? Yes? You've forgotten already, yes? Yeah?
Because we wanted to play
The tiger dove, yeah. Are they about worshipping God?
Yeah.
Is that what it's about?
Yeah.
Fantastic, isn't it? Yeah. Well done, everybody. So as you go back, show it all, everybody there, all your shakers and guitars and things. I should have brought my guitar. Anyway, off you go. Well done, everybody. That's fantastic. And so we're going to... And we're going to sing. We're going to have a chance to worship now with our final hymn. And you can shake your shakers at the back, which is number 278. And I can't remember. I know what it is. I Will Sing the Wondrous Story. That's what I remembered. Number 278. We stand to sing. And we receive the offertory during this hymn. Please do join us for coffee, biscuits and chat over in the sanctuary right now. So Lord, may it be known that we've been with you. Let there be traces of glory in our lives. Let there be the aroma of Christ upon us and the fire of God within us. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son and the Holy Spirit be with you and those you love, both now and forevermore. Amen. Amen. Let's go in peace to love and to serve the Lord.
In the name of Christ.
Amen. Amen.